Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, go buy a lotto ticket. Hallelujah. I'm going to use that everywhere I go, man. Hallelujah. That's like the best offering speech ever. I don't know where that guy is, but I want his autograph. Hallelujah. And man, his awesome accent too, right? Go buy a lotto ticket. I mean, that's got to be the best thing ever. Man, maybe I'm just a self-amuser, but that amused me. That just encouraged me. Hallelujah. There's always hope. Amen. If you've given a seed to God, you can always go buy a lotto ticket. Hallelujah. No, I'm just kidding. Man, if you can't have fun in church, where can you have fun? Amen. And so I'm so excited to be here. I do believe in divine appointments, and I believe you're not here by accident, but you're here by God's divine appointment this morning. And I really have a word of encouragement that I want to deliver to you this morning. And I'm probably the horse of a different color. I'm not one of these guys that I don't know how to explain anything other than I'm just me. And I'm just going to be me, and I'm excited to be me because there's no one else like me in the whole world. Hallelujah. And I'm starting to understand that more and more every day, that God has uniquely gifted me and uniquely gifted you, and together it makes the world a better place. Amen. And so I'm excited about that. So this morning, I want to encourage you before we turn to our text. Actually, you can go ahead and turn to your text. 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to read some verses out of there. But I want to encourage you guys with the miracles that you have need of in your bulletin this morning. Remember Luke chapter 9. He gave the disciples legal right to heal all manner of sickness and disease and cast out evil spirits. Amen. And that is a powerful, powerful thing that God has anointed you to do. So, if you know one of these people in your bulletins and you get in touch with them, don't be afraid to lay your hands on them. Believe God for a miracle, because God has anointed you just like he's anointed ministers. Amen. You're his disciple and you're anointed. And you should know that God has anointed you to heal all manner of sickness and disease. And I don't think we could get enough of that. Amen. In this generation. With the panic academic and everything, it don't matter, because the blood's not coming to our house. Amen. I've decided to stand on that in Jesus' name. All right, 1 Kings chapter 19, let's read some verses. I want to read a few verses out of there. I'm going to read 1 through 3. Then we're going to jump down and read verses 9 to 10. And then I'm going to just give you the title this morning. And it says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, Let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. When he saw that he arose and went for his life, he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there." Now jump down to verse number 9. I want to read this. "And thither he came unto a cave, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, What doest thou here?" Boy, that's always big when God asks you what you're doing here. Right? Watch this. "And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain the prophets with the sword. And I even only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Amen. Let's pray one more time. Father, thank you for this word, and I pray that you help us articulate it, and I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. I want to preach to you a message this morning. Stay out of the cave. Stay out of the cave. I want to preach a message that I believe will help you. And listen, I got to set this stage up first. Elijah in chapter 18 has one of the greatest day of miracles in all of his life. Now, you're talking about a guy that did some awesome things in chapter 18. You see him at the beginning of this story. He begins to have I call it like one of the old Western duel-offs. you know, he begins to battle some prophets, and he begins to deal with some things and deal with some people. And notice, you don't ever have to worry about, you know, non-church people. It's always the church people that kind of wig you out, right? I have learned that in my life. It's not the unsaved. It's the saved I worry about. You got these prophets over here challenging his authority, right? You're supposed to be God's man. And so they kind of start smarting off and saying, you know, if God's really God and he's all that in a bag of chips, you know, why don't you show us who he is? And then all of a sudden you notice there's a huge famine in the land. And then he gets four pitchers of water. And the very thing that he is needing in their country, he uses to prove that God can do anything through precious seed. And then you see him slay the prophets. Then you see fire fall down from heaven. And then you see out of nowhere, God brings a rain in this crazy midst of famine out of the size of a man's hand. And you see the miracle working power of God in Elijah. And the next season of Elijah's life, after the greatest miracles on his life, you find him on the run. You see him on the run. You see God using him, God multiplying his ministry, and the next moment, one little crazy woman. Isn't it amazing? It always starts out with a woman. You see one crazy little woman say, I'm going to cut your head off, and today you're never going to live again. And the next thing you know, he is on the run, and he's running up into a cave, and crazy things begin to happen. And I begin to look at this story, and I believe that the Lord began to give me some things, and I'm going to just give you some things this morning that I believe that will help you stay out of the cave. Here's the first one. You've got to determine in your mind you're never going to run from your enemies. You've got to determine in your mind you are never going to run from your enemies. And wouldn't you know it that you see Elijah, the first thing, he gets a threat. Listen, let me tell you something. I want to tell you, I know that there is nothing good in the devil ever. There's never going to be anything good come out of him in life. He's never going to be nice to you. He's never going to do good things to you. But I want to tell you something, and I want to encourage you. The devil is nothing but a man that is full of threats.
Oh, come on.
Can I get an amen in the house? He can only threaten you. Why? Because the blood of Calvary destroyed him 2,000 years ago, and there is no weapon formed against you that will ever be able to prosper.
Come on, young kid.
Clap your hands and make yourself feel better. There is no weapon that is formed against you that's going to be able to prosper. Let me break that down for you in English. There's no weapon that's going to get your kids. There's no weapon that's going to get your family. There's no weapon that's going to get your city. There's no weapon that's going to get your finances. There's no weapon that's going to come against you or come against your house that's ever strong enough or big enough to stand against the power of God. We have the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Don't ever run from your enemies. Oh man, I wish you'd get that in your spirit. I think many of us could use that this morning. It's easy when the devil threatens you to run to a place of surrender. Man, what am I going to do? How am I going to get there? But I want to tell you something. You've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords living inside of you today. You've got the power of God living inside of you today. And there is no greater God than in our God. And I love that verse in Romans when it said this, that if our God be for us, who can be against us? If our God stand with us, who can stand against us? You ought to give God a hand clap of praise this morning and let the devil know, I'm not running from my enemies. God is on my side. And if God be for me, who can be against me? I love what it said in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse number 14. He said, I looked and arose up and said to the nobles, to the rulers, the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. Fight for you, brethren. Oh, can I tell you, he's fighting for you this morning. He's fighting for your health. He's fighting for your healing. He's fighting for your blessings. He's fighting for your joy. He's fighting for your peace. He's fighting for your strength. He's fighting for your happiness. Our God is fighting for us today. Our God is fighting for us today. I said, our God is fighting for us today. Listen, what you see right now will not afflict your future in Jesus' name. What you see right now will not afflict your future in Jesus' name.
Man, I feel the Holy Ghost
this morning. What you see right now will not afflict your future. Right now, there's everybody saying, you know, this, what do they call it? Coronavirus. You know what's crazy? On the back of a Lysol can, it says, listen, we're talking like 50 years Lysol's been around now. And did you know that it says that Lysol fights against the coronavirus? Let me tell you something. This is nothing but a lie from the enemy, and nothing can harm your house because of the blood of Jesus. Listen, you ought to tell your neighbor this. It might come to our neighbor's house, but it's not coming to my house. Why? Because you're in the spiritual land of Goshen right now, and no plague will come nigh your dwelling. No plague will come nigh your dwelling. What you see right now will not afflict you. Listen, you must tell yourself right now. You must get yourself, listen, I believe what happened to Elijah in this cave was simple. He lost his perspective. He was no longer a winner. He was on the run. Listen, you've got to get your mindset, and you've got to let the enemy know, I'm not on the run. I'm on the winning side of things. I'm on God's side. I'm with him. He's standing with me. I'm with him, and I will not go down. Why? Because I'm not on the run. God is for me, and no one can be against me, including my enemies. I love what he told the children of Israel in Exodus 33 or 23. He said this, my enemies today will be your enemies. My enemies today will be your enemies. Look at your neighbor and say, God's got your back. All right, here's the next thing. I believe that here's the next thing that you've got to do if you want to ever stay out of the cave. You've got to control your emotions. You've got to control your emotions. Listen, I believe that Elijah heard a threat. By the end of today, you're going to die. Now, you all know what happens. Now, let's just get real. Now I'm just going to be real with y'all, right? I travel all over the world. I mean, literally. And I see people get miracles every single day. I watched here just last fall. I was standing there. We were in a prayer line. I'm praying for this lady, and this lady's got kidney trouble, and the Lord revealed it to me. And how many know if the Lord reveals it, he'll heal it? And I was sitting there, and the Lord just began to say, there's someone here that's really struggling in their kidneys. This lady comes up. I literally saw her whole body shift, like God just touched her body. And it's amazing to me how everything in your world is wild sometimes, especially emotionally. Well, I just went through one of the craziest battles of my life. And let me tell you how your emotions work. Whenever you hear like you might have something wrong, have you ever noticed like you'll get a little knot somewhere and the next thought you think you got cancer? Right? Or you get thirsty and you're like dying for water, and then the next thing you know, you hear the devil say something like, you know you might have diabetes. Huh? And everything the enemy does is doing one thing, trying to affect your emotional state. Because if he can get you emotionally concerned, if he can get you emotionally worn down, you won't have faith to believe God. How many has ever walked that path before? You know that God's moving for you, but man, it seems like you got more faith to believe God for somebody else than you do your own house. Anybody ever been there before? But I want to tell you that Elijah had a choice right then. He could have ran to the cave, or he could have said, look, I just watched God. Come on, how many know that God's faithfulness in the past will bring you the faith you need for God to win today? I said, God's faithfulness in the past will bring you the faith that you need to win today. And I want to encourage you, don't let the devil get you emotionally worn down. But know that God has got you in the palm of his hand, and there is no devil big enough that can bring you down, your family down, or your emotions down. But we got some people this morning that will let the devil know, God is on my side, and I'm not going to be controlled by my emotions, because God is good. Would help me say, God is good. God is great. He is on my side. He is living for me. He's living with me. My God is good. He woke you up this morning. He put air in your lungs. Come on, better is one day in his courts than 10,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in his house. Oh, maybe I'm the only one excited, but I'm feeling it. Now, anybody feeling it besides me? Can I tell you that, man, you listen, I just feel like prophesying and declaring over you this morning. You're going to have victory by the end of today. You're going to have some victory in your life. God's about to do some big things. Why? Because the devil's not going to get you emotionally down, but you're going to know that God is with you and God is for you. Look at your neighbor and say, my emotions are intact. Say, my emotions are intact. Oh, man. Oh, man. Here's the next thing. I believe this is what happened to Elijah. Here's number three. He pulled back from his assignment. He pulled back from his assignment. Listen, right now, you cannot pull back from your assignment. People are counting on you. And people are counting on the God inside of you. Huh? People are counting on you, and people are counting on the God on the inside of you. When you walk into Walmart, honey, let me break it down for you. You change the atmosphere. When you walk into Dollar General, you change the atmosphere. When you walk in to go eat somewhere, you change the atmosphere. Why? Not because of you, but because of the God on the inside of you. Elijah had the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on the inside of him. And the one thing he does, he retreats to a cave and he draws back from his assignment. When you pull back from your assignment, somebody doesn't get healed. When you pull back from your assignment, somebody doesn't get delivered. When you pull back from your assignment, somebody doesn't get their breakthrough. When you pull back from your assignment, somebody doesn't get their answered prayer. We have way more to do with this thing than we realize. Today, you showed up to get empowered because you have an assignment tomorrow. You did not get an assignment. You are not getting an assignment just to come to church, just to exist, just to survive, just to sit here and just reside. You are called here by that man and by that woman and by the power of God to get equipped that when you leave this place, you spark revival everywhere you go, everywhere you walk, at the bank, at the grocery store, not just in the church house, but every house you put your foot in. I believe, listen to me, I say this with humility and all the love I can muster. The church has lost sight of souls. And I'm not just talking about this church, I'm talking about the church. When we are more concerned about our position than someone else's eternal future, we have a struggle. And we're in the struggle right now, not for our position, but for souls. Right now, hell is battling us to keep people out of heaven. But how many know God is going to win and God is going to use you to do it? God has equipped you. Listen, can I just explain? How many of you talk in tongues in this church? How many of you pray in the Holy Ghost? Let me ask you a question. Do you think you just got filled with the power to babble? No. You got filled with power. Why? To produce proof he's alive. My goodness, that'll make a Catholic shout and do three Hail Marys. Can I tell you, you got full of the power of the Holy Ghost to produce proof that God has signs, wonders, and miracles in your life, through your life, so you can bring revival to this nation and around the world every single day of our lives. If you believe that and you want that assignment, give the Lord a hand clap and say, that's my job. Say, that's my job. I'm here to spark revival everywhere I go. Brother Strong, you're mighty exciting. It's about time somebody get excited about something. Nobody screams at the abortionist for getting loud. Nobody screams and, man, boy, them abortionists are acting like a bunch of weirdos up there. They're believing in their message. The only people we do that for is preachers. Why do you have to get so excited? Why do you have to stay so lethargic? I mean, for some of you, I mean, I almost feel like rigor mortis has set in just a little bit. Come on, just wake up a little bit and understand that you have an assignment to fulfill on this earth. And God has called you and chosen you. You were selected by God to help somebody in their life bring the best result that God could ever give them. And you're the missing link in their life. Look at your neighbor and say, you're the missing link. You're the missing link. I'm the missing link. Listen, the devil's job is to drive you away from your assignment. All right, here's the next one. I believe this is a huge one right now. He isolated himself. He isolated himself. If the devil ever makes you think you've got this by yourself, he's got you. You can't do this alone. People need people. And I think sometimes that we get in such a mode of life that we just get, well, I don't want to bother so and so. I don't want to really, you know, frustrate them. Listen, we need you, you need us, and we ain't going to make it by ourselves. And the devil's job right now, listen to me, is to divide God's people. Because if he can you imagine? Watch this now. You have to imagine this picture. God is sitting on the side of a mountain. He begins to teach 500 disciples. Now, 380 of them only make it to the upper, 380 of them leave, 120 make it to the upper room. Could you imagine being 300 and number 79? And you leave because you get offended. Nobody shook your hand when you come into the upper room. You, for some reason, you got frustrated and nobody noticed you on that Sunday morning or that upper room experience. It's 5 till 9. And you're like, you know what? I'm just tired of these people. You know, they live down there in St. Simon's Island, those snooty, you know, vacationers. I'm just going to leave this place and I'm not going to stay there and I'm going to leave. And 5 till 9, and man, the Holy Ghost drops. And then you come back and you think, oh, well, I'll just try it the next Sunday. You come back and all you get is the overflow. Because the devil drove you to isolation. That was my T.D. Jakes Creflo Dollar moment. Let me tighten my tie. Maybe I can say it with a little more dramatic effect. Could you imagine 5 till 9 and you leave to go to the restroom and all you come back to is the overflow? Isolation. If he can single you out, if he can make you feel like you're the, listen, and let's don't kid ourselves. We know that Satan is a liar and he's the father of lies. How many have ever heard this statement? You're the only one going through this. Nobody will understand. Isolation. They won't understand. They'll judge you, they'll persecute you, they'll tell you that there's no reason you should come back to this church. They'll look at you, they'll point their nose down at you. Let me tell you something, everybody's got skeletons, they just don't want to talk about them. And the worst thing you can ever do, listen to me, Christian, listen to me, family of God, the worst thing you can do is get on an island by yourself and think you're the only one struggling. Notice what he does. He shows up in the cave and he sits down and he isolates himself away from the things that make him Elijah. Notice right before verse chapter 19, what's happening? Listen, Ahab, he's with his buddy. He's with his friend. Go check 7 times. Not 1 time, not 2 times. By the 5th time, I'm thinking, this guy's nuts. Oh, Brother Mike just told me to run up the mountain 6 times. I'm down number 5 going up for number 6. Man, I know you're a man of God. I just seen you wipe out some prophets. But right now, man, Jack, you crazy. Huh? Because you understand, we're not talking about just like 5 feet. We're talking a mountaintop somewhere. So he's climbed this mountain 6 times now. And finally he gets to the top of 7. God just proves him out of isolation that God wants to prove to this region miracles. And the next scene is Elijah's running from his threat. And he's in isolation. Don't let the devil make you think you're the only one struggling. Can you imagine if we could just muster the faith and we could actually talk about what's going on in our lives, the power of agreement? Come on, the Bible tells us if any two touching any one thing on earth shall agree, it shall be done. Can you imagine what could happen to divorce and what could happen to frustration? What could happen to cancer? What could happen to diabetes if we could just get an agreement and we could battle and stand against this thing together? Don't get isolated, get an agreement. Don't get isolated, get an agreement. Tell your neighbor, I'm coming in agreement with you. Whatever miracle you have need of today, I'm coming in agreement with you. I'm coming in agreement with you. Listen, I want to tell you, stay out of this cave. Stay out of this cave. Watch what happens here. This is huge. In Judges chapter 6 and verse number 2, are you able to plaster that up there or no? Can you plaster that scripture up there or no? Do you have that ability? If not, we'll just read it together. It says this, and the hand of the Midian prevailed against Israel. Here they are. They're getting whipped, right? They're getting all, they're getting busted up. But watch what happens here. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. Notice that word, stronghold. When you're in isolation, the devil's got you in a stronghold. What a powerful verse. He drives them into caves. They're getting whipped by the Midianites. Now here's the crazy thing. You know God's going to come through. I think you keep reading this same book, Judges. I think there was a man by the name of Shamgar. He kills 1,000 Philistines with an ox goad. One Israelite whips 1,000 Philistines with an ox poker. And these guys are running up in the caves in strongholds. Why? Because they forgot who God was. Woo! That'll make a Lutheran shout. Huh? They forgot who God was. The next time that you are having a trouble, you might as well remind the devil. Can I remind you that in 1982, God healed my body, and that same God in 1982 is the same God right here in 2020, and he never let me down then. He'll never let me down now. I'm not going in a cave. I'm not going to be in a stronghold. God will come through. God will come through. God will come through. I'm at the place in my life, my personal life, and my ministry. God's got to. God's got to do it. God's got to do it now. He's got to do it. He's the only one that can do it. Why? He's my source. He might use 50 other vehicles, but he's my source. He's got to come through, because if God doesn't do it, it won't happen. Can you imagine them running from a bunch of worthless Midianites? This is the God of Israel. And the enemy drives them into a stronghold because of isolation. You know what happens in Judges, right? Israel kind of branches off from all of the other lands in that season. They decide we're going to divide ourselves and we're going to make sure we stay in our backyard, they stay in theirs, and we're not going to bother anybody. What they do? They isolated themselves. Who shows up? The Midianites. What happens? They start building den and caves because the devil got them scared, because there was no one to remind them of what God had done. Isolation. I'm trying to hurry. Some of you are yawning in the spirit. You ready? Here's the next one. He sat down. He quit fighting. Notice what he does. He prays to die. Paint this picture. This guy just watched 500 weasels get burned up with fire. Gone. Whack. Huh? I mean, you know what I'm saying? He got a little swag with his walk right now. Huh? Let me tell you who my God is, Ahab. Come on, buddy. Right? Then you got, you see, listen, in the middle of a famine, God uses 4 pitchers of water. They pour it on the altar. He burns it up. And then what happens? Man, he prophetically decrees the end of a famine. Rain comes. He's got some swag. And then little Jezebel. By the end of today, I'm going to have your head. Now, here's what's real funny. Open your Bibles real fast to 1 Kings chapter 18. I think it's like the last verse. I think it's the last verse. Let me look. Let me double check here. 1 Kings, last verse. 1 Kings chapter 18, last verse. Watch this. I'm going to show you another miracle right here. Okay. Now, if my mathematics is correct, I want you all to see the supernaturalness of God here in Elijah's life, right? And the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, where he was at that place on Carmel to where Jezreel was, 14 miles. Now, y'all ain't catching this. Let me try it real slow so you can hear me. Ahab and all of his goons are riding on horses. This guy gets enough supernatural power and strength to outrun his enemies on horses 14 miles. 14 miles of this. And he gets there before his enemies do on horses. Another miracle. And then the next 9 verses. Oh God, I want to die. What happens from verse 46 to verse number 1 in chapter 19? I'll tell you what happened. He stopped fighting. He sat down in that cave. He quit fighting. I implore you, Church of God, don't throw in the towel. Don't quit fighting now. You have came this far. You have gotten, listen, can you imagine this? The devil has given you his very best shot and you're still here. Jubbly bubbly. You're still here. You have taken every shot he's thrown. You've taken every dart. You've taken every cut. You've made it through every valley. You've gotten through every lie, every false accusation, everything he's accused you of. And somehow you're alive, you're well, you're breathing. And listen, you're here, he's nowhere to be found. Don't quit fighting. I know you get tired. I know you get tired. 1950s, true story. I'm going to try to wrap this up so we can move past the on stage. 1950s, two boxers, true story. One of them is the heavyweight champion of the world. The second boxer is the biggest underdog in boxing to date. True story. The papers read that this champion will wear down this young underdog opponent. There will be no chance for him to make it past round one. And wouldn't you know it, the first round, now this is back when they had 15 rounds of boxing. Now you have to understand that this is a true story. And I've got to find it in my notes somewhere, but I have these two guys' names. This is a true story. I am telling you, can you imagine this? This champion, it read that the first round was obliteration. This guy comes out, he knocks this underdog down a couple of times in round one. He's bloodied up, he's busted up. And at the end of round one, they go back to their corners and they sit there and listen to what the underdog trainer says. He says, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to give me one more round. He said nothing else. He said nothing else to him. Wasn't talking about his boxing skills. Wasn't talking about how good he could fight, how awesome he was. He said, I just need you to do me a favor. Give me one more round. They get to round two, same thing. They get to round three, same thing. They get to round seven, the same thing. He says nothing else. You know what I'm talking about. He puts the ice pack on his shoulder. He wipes his face with Vaseline and he says, listen, you got to do me a favor. You got to keep going and give me one more round. And so he gets all the way up to round 13. And then the trainer's words change. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost. You know what he said? He said, you just stood toe-to-toe with the best boxer in the world for 13 rounds. And then they did it to 14. And then he said, now in round number 14, it comes to a close. The climax is happening. And guess what he says? This is the round that you become the new heavyweight champion of the world. He got him all the way down to round 15. And wouldn't you know it, a minute and 37 seconds, he knocked the champion out and became the heavyweight champion of the world, the new heavyweight champion of the world. Nobody said he could win, and he did it with one thing. Just give me one more round. I want to employ you this morning. Give God one more round. Don't you dare throw in the towel. Don't you dare quit, but you give God one more round. You will be victorious, and you will be the one standing. Please give God one more round. Just give him one more round. Just one more round. I can do that. I can do that, God. I can do that. I can praise you one more time. I can worship you one more time. I can go to church one more Sunday. I can believe you, God, one more day, because I'm going to give you one more round. Don't lose the ability to fight. Don't sit out in that gate. Listen, let me give you words of instruction here. Keep moving. Dick Van Dyke was asked, how in the world are you living as long as you're living? He said, the simple fact, as a matter of fact, he wrote a book on it. He said, the number one key is to keep moving. Can you imagine if he had never stopped at that cave? Now, we understand God has a will, God has a plan. I don't understand it all. But my question is, what didn't he accomplish just because he sat down? We'll never know. He gets caught up in the wind of glory. You never see him again. You just hear about how he trains up the next young prophet. But I'm telling you right now, what struggle that I have with this story is this. What didn't he accomplish? Because he sat down. Could there have been 5 more Elijahs? Could there have been 10 more Elishas if he would have just kept moving? God brings him miracle after miracle after miracle, and somehow, some way, he finds himself in this position. God, please, let me die. And I think something happened in his mind. Battle after battle after battle after battle, even in winning, sometimes the fighting just gets to be too much. But I think if he would have just kept moving, kept staying in pursuit of everything that was important, I want to encourage you today, keep moving. Keep moving. I don't care. Listen to the one word he tells the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 23. That's a great chapter if you ever want to just read it. It's all about the Exodus there. God gives them 10 divine promises for being in covenant with him. 10 divine promises. I got them on notes. I'll give them to you, Pastor Mike, for free. 10 divine promises. Guess what one of them is? He says, I'm going to give you the power and authority to drive out your enemies. And one verse says, little by little, they drove them out. You don't have to have 50 steps. Just take a little one. Little by little. Little by little. Anybody feel that this morning? Little by, how are you going to do it? I don't know. But little by little. Little by little. Inch by inch. Mile by mile. That rabbit may be faster than me, but we're both going to get to the same finish line. I might be a little slower. It might take me little by little, but I will get there little by little. Little by little. Is anybody ready to just stay out of that cave? Anybody want an anointing just to stay out of that cave? You play behind people? Can you just play like a song for me and just real soft? This is what I want to do. life can be frustrating. But if you never stop moving, you can't camp out to see the disaster. That's a tweet. Somebody write that down so don't forget. Huh? Listen, life is tough. But if you never stop to look at the disaster, you can keep moving. I want to encourage you today. Stay out of the cave. Keep fighting. Keep believing God. I believe this is a day of miracles, a season of miracles. I believe that you're going to have to end up looking at the positives more than the negatives in this season. And that's sometimes hard to do. Let's just be honest. That's hard to do. You got to find those season songs. You know, those one songs that you can play over and over and they never get old, because that song is doing something for your spirit. And you just keep it playing over and over. And remembering the good of life. The days with the grandkids. The sun shining on your face. The air that you're breathing. The life that you're living. Think about it. You're not in a cancer ward today. You're not in a hospital somewhere. You're not dying. You're living. Keep moving. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every mind and heart on God, please. No distractions. Don't check your cell phone. Keep your mind on the Spirit just for a minute. How many of you can say, you know what, Brother Sean, I need to keep moving and stay out of this cave. Slip your hands up. I want to see them. I see those hands all over this room. If that's you and you raised your hand, would you do me a favor and stand on your feet? Every person that raised their hand, stand on your feet. This is what I would like you to do. I'd like you to just come down here and just join me down here at this altar. Would you please? Would you just come? Would you just come? I thank you for the presence of the Lord.
The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he blood of Jesus Christ. precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Sing that again. Savior. Sing it out. Isn't he wonderful? Come on, let's stand one more time before we dismiss.
Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Thank you, Lord.
Bow down before him, for he is Lord.
Your hands to the Lord this morning if you feel like it. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the work that you're doing today. Thank you, Lord, that you're preparing the way before us. Thank you, Lord. Every concern, every need, every request, everything on our hearts this morning, Father, you are preparing the way. May we trust you. May we keep our eyes upon you, Lord, and may we continue to move forward in all that you've called us to do. Thank you, Lord, that you encourage each one today. Father, we love you. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us. We praise you, Father. We give you glory, honor, praise for all things that have been done and accomplished through your Spirit this morning, Father. I pray now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. God bless you.